This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:07. I'll make it 5:07 in the evening. We're heading into today's installment of Pulpit Pulpit Parliament. Producer Tasha Fusil is with us in the studio. Tasha, were there any interesting developments today?
Indeed, there were, Lynn. One of the questions discussed today was about plastic waste imports. This is, of course, referring to the revelation that Malaysia has become a key destination for plastic waste.
Come
visit Malaysia. After China banned plastic waste imports earlier this year. So since then, it's been found that Penang and Klang are two of the hot spots for illegal plastic recycling factories where the bulk of the waste have gone to. Klang MP Charles Santiago asked the Minister of Housing and Local Government, Zuraida Kamarudin, whether the ministry would change the National Solid Waste Management Policy to prohibit all plastic waste imported from abroad.
And what was Zuraida's response?
She was like... Okay, so she said that there are no plans to change the policy because there is a huge business potential to the plastic processing industry.
Kabinet telah memutuskan 4 kementerian untuk duduk untuk membincangkan hala tuju pengimportan plastik termasuk MESTEC, MITI dan juga air dan tanah. Jadi bila kami dapati bahawa potensi bisnes untuk import plastik ini adalah sebanyak 30 bilion dalam negara Malaysia. Jadi kita tidak boleh pandang remeh kerana is satu income yang banyak untuk negara ini.
Remeh again.
There it is.
They really love that word in Parliament, don't they?
See, I don't like what that implies. Parliament is not remeh. They just use the word a lot.
Right. And so she also said that instead of having an outright ban on the industry, the ministry plans to tighten the enforcement and close down illegal factories. Zuraida also mentioned that officers have done checks and found that out of 114 factories, only 8 had met the new conditions stipulated by the ministry. She also said that they would only allow quality plastic imports that can be reprocessed.
Plastik ini sebenarnya ada plastik yang dibenarkan untuk import adalah quality plastik, industri plastik yang mana dia datangnya daripada plastik homogenous dan juga pellet yang bersih daripada sisa plastik industri. Tapi kalau terminologi yang kita gunakan sebenarnya adalah sisa plastik, plastic waste, jadi it looks like as though dengan izin yang dipertua, Datuk Yang Pertua, bahawa it looks as though waste as in sampah sarap yang sampah yang tak berguna. Jadi yang ini yang kita akan kawal dengan lebih rapi bahawa pastikan bahawa sisa plastik industri yang dibawa ni adalah yang berkualiti yang boleh diproses untuk menjadikan bahan-bahan penggunaan pengguna yang mendatangkan hasil sebanyak 30 bilion pada negara kita. Jadi untuk jangka masa yang panjang, kita tidak mahu miss the chance of this dengan izin opportunity, income opportunity atau economic opportunity ini, maka KPKT telah dan kementerian yang terbabit telah bersetuju untuk memberikan satu phasing out, memberikan jangka masa untuk kita mengurangkan kadar import dan meningkatkan local plastik untuk diproses dalam kilang kita di Malaysia sendiri.
We'll wait and see. I mean, I would like to think that this is good business sense, but having seen those horrific videos and photos of the plastic waste processing areas and how they're kind of encroaching into where people live, it's just, I don't know, it's a bit scary.
Yeah, and also, China's banned it, and China's like, whoa, this is too much for us.
We're passing it on.
Like, our pollution's getting too bad, you handle it.
I know, and we're like, yay, business. So, I mean, yes, business, but also, okay. What else happened today?
The former Defence Minister, Hishamuddin Hussein, he gave a press conference.
Wait, he found Jolo.
Not quite as spicy,
Yeah.
No, he gave a press conference to talk about the defence budget. He criticised the current defence minister, Mat Sapu's plans to purchase more military assets, such as unmanned aerial vehicles and maritime patrol aircrafts, despite a budget cut of 2 billion ringgit. He also questioned the ministry's transparency in terms of how it would make use of the budget.
Jadi kalau dulu pun kita tidak mampu membeli aset-aset sebegini, macam mana dia nak meyakinkan pada orang ramai bahawa aset-aset yang dia nak perolehi sekarang dapat dipenuhi dengan bajet yang telah dibentangkan di dalam Dewan. They have to balance between what he has said and what is on the table and what is being tabled in the Parliament right now.
If you say that you're going to purchase assets, where is the money going to come from? If you want to say that you want to maintain the assets that exist, there's an 85% drop in the matter. If he was in Sabah recently to say that Sabah will be protected, we know that in Lahad Datu, the S-zone allocation has dropped to zero. And now if we're talking about the offshore bases, that has been reduced. All the figures are there for everybody to see. So it's not a matter of me asking them to justify, but actually balance what you say and reality, which is in black and white under the budget.
Right. That's quite exciting.
Yeah, and that he carried on as well. He also commented on Matsabu's defence diplomacy. He thinks that overall there's been a lack of direction, whether in terms of the ministry's relationship with China or the seeming lack of attention on the trilateral agreement, which refers to the maritime security pact between Malaysia, Philippines and Indonesia.
Beliau juga telah menyatakan bahawa diplomasi pertahanan akan diteruskan. Bau balik daripada China, bau balik daripada Indonesia. Saya tak tengok hala tuju MENDEF sekarang ini berhubung kait dengan hubungan dengan negeri China. Dan lebih-lebih lagi yang lebih penting, trilateral di antara Indonesia, Filipina dengan Malaysia nak menangani keganasan dan terorisme di selatan Mindanao. The air and sea patrols, I don't see that happening. Dan perjumpaan Menteri Pertahanan dengan Bapak Riam Izzat pun tak ada sebut berhubung kait dengan the trilateral yang telah diwujudkan. Jadi hala tuju agenda tak jelas, dan ini jauh daripada manifesto pakatan yang nak menunjukkan ketelusan dalam apa yang mereka nak bawa pada kali ini.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, they're playing the role of the opposition. They're questioning things like transparency and, you know,
some of them
defense
are.
Diplomacy. It's crazy.
The amount of commentary coming from the opposition isn't evenly distributed, though. I think there
That's
are a couple
true.
Of voices that are very strong and saying things that some might say are quite brave to say, considering the goodwill deficit that they're working with. But
and also the baggage that they're carrying.
The trust deficit, just a lot of deficits. But, you know, there they are.
I understand, Tasha, that child marriage came up again in today's session.
It did. And it came in response to a question by Rimbaud MP Khairi Jamaluddin about the ministry's progress in tackling child marriage. So Minister Dr. Wan Azizah said that they're looking to amend the relevant laws to tighten the SOP for approval of underage marriages. She also said that they're taking action to change the perception among the public that marriage is a way out of poverty.
Tindakan selain binaan punah undang yang sedang diambil oleh kerajaan adalah seperti berikut. Melaksanakan program pembasmian kemiskinan. Meningkatkan kesedaran ibu bapa penjaga untuk memasukkan anak-anak ke sekolah dan memastikan mereka ini tidak tercicir daripada sistem pendidikan sehingga umur 17 tahun, tingkatan 5. Meningkatkan program kesedaran dalam pendidikan kesihatan reproduktif dan memastikan masyarakat faham tentang kesediaan kanak-kanak perempuan daripada aspek fizikal, baligh, cukup umur dan mental, arusht, akal fikiran yang sempurna. Datuk Yang Dipertua, Kementerian tegas berpendirian bahawa kanak-kanak perlu diberikan peluang untuk mengembangkan potensi mereka sepenuhnya, terutama dari segi pendidikan. Bah kata pepatah dengan izin, when you educate a man, you educate only that man. But when you educate a woman, you educate a generation.
Lovely. Also, bak kata pepatah. And I love that. I love that phrase. Was there progress then in terms of raising the age to a hard minimum of 18?
So Wan Azizah said that they've met up with the Council of Rulers in addition to Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad's earlier meeting with the Menteri Besar. However, the minister reiterated that states have the upper hand in the issue. And while some states have been supportive, others are opposed to the idea. So I guess we'll have to wait for further development.
And did Wan Azizah give a comment on the female genital mutilation issue?
She did. Here's what she told reporters.
We are in discussions with the Ministry of Health because so far it is actually something that is cultural. That we've had this since before, and then this is one of the things that they actually say that we are not the same actually with the African or all the mutilation thing. But we will discuss and then look at it. If it doesn't give any benefit, then we should do something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
There we are.
I know. I mean, that's a very cogent statement, I guess. Looking.
Why do you sound surprised?
No comment.
I see. All right. Tasha, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
We're going to head to some messages now. And then after that, Lenny Kravitz with Ooh Ooh Baby. But before that, just a reminder that you can talk back all day. 7733 2900 is the number to call if you'd like to comment on anything that you heard during Pulpit Parliament today. We went from plastics to child marriage. It's just a wide range. You can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma. We were speaking earlier about what happened during Day One Rakyat today.
Yes.
In a little segment we like to call Pulpit Parliament. And part of that actually was some mention of former Defence Minister Hishamuddin Hussein criticising current Defence Minister Mat Sabu's, I wouldn't say decisions, more like he's just...
Ministry's decisions.
Yeah, he's just doing a general critique, I think, of... In action here, why this, why that. And now we've got Faisal on the line. Faisal, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that this should not be the question, on why are they doing this, why are they doing this, doing that. Because they just came into power and give them some breathing space. Just because you are not the ruling government, I mean, it's like sounds like sour grapes. Everybody is blaming everybody. You didn't do very well in your time also. So, I mean, just keep quiet and try and assist the current government. If the community or the country is the most important, work towards that. Don't look at who's opposition and who's the ruling government.
Yeah, no, Faisal, I mean, I think you're right in saying that. I think questions have to be asked, right?
Fine, but I mean, you don't have to make a press conference or you don't have to... the way it sounds, it's like you're finding fault.
Right, so... You don't think that they're being very, I suppose, productive in this moment?
Yeah, I mean, fine. You work with them and say, hey, before the budget, I mean, work with it. Well, is this anything I can contribute? Because I was, for a good number of years, I was actually holding this portfolio. Rather than once it's done, I don't know why at my time we couldn't do, now we are doing, and then they're talking about Lahat Datu. You're trying to show weakness, you know, Lahat Datu, where there is zero, it's gone to zero. Why are you pointing a finger and saying this? Nothing has happened. God willing, nothing has happened. I mean, at your time, a lot of things also happened. People got kidnapped in Sarawak, I mean, in Sandakan. Nothing big was done. So give it a chance.
Fair enough, Faisal. Thank you so much for calling. We've also got a message that's come in saying the opposition member actually doing the best job in keeping Pakatan Harapan in check and challenging their policies is Najib. How is that for irony? Lol.
Actually, I don't know if Najib's actually keeping Pakatan Harapan in check and challenging their policies, because I think all he's said so far is more along the lines of, well, you know, this is what I did and what I did was better.
I'd be curious to hear from everyone else about the about basically what Faisal said, whether or not the role of former ministers is actually to be helpful to the current administration in offering experience, right, in offering help as opposed to serving as the opposition and questioning things. I mean, the traditional role of the opposition has always been to question.
No, I think you know where people are coming from, Lynn. I mean, I think it's different if there are other MPs who aren't maybe tainted, who come across and make these pronouncements. But, you know, if you're Najib Razak, for example, or Said Hamidi, and...
Or Hishamuddin Hussein.
Or Hishamuddin Hussein, or Kunan. But all the people who have actively got charges leveled against them in court by the police, etc., then there's really a question as to your moral standing when it comes to talk about transparency and honesty and integrity, right?
Let us know what you think. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Do you think that the role of former ministers should be to offer help and experience, or should it be to function as, you know, you would expect the opposition to, and question, right, and push back? Let us know. In the meantime, we've got Lenny Kravitz with Ooh Ooh Baby, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma. We were asking you earlier what you think the role of the opposition should be, considering that right now we've got the opposition with kind of a lot of mature politicians, very seasoned politicians. And
a lot of whom who have been ministers for very, very long periods of time.
Correct. And then in the current government, you have people who are relatively inexperienced.
Yes.
Kamal says, 50 years, they've eaten so much. Let the current government prove something before the opposition keeps questioning. They weren't transparent. Mohan Mohan says the former ministers should focus on their constituency and work harder on reducing the deep trust deficit among people. Right now, all we see is them rallying behind their corrupt leaders. Shame on them. And Tan Huai Keith says Malaysian politicians are still coming to maturity in Malaysia. Baru, ex-government learning to be opposition. Current government learning how to manage themselves as having the power to make decisions. Jessica, the current opposition should offer help and assistance, not just questioning and finding fault. At least that will help redeem some of their many past wrongdoings and weaknesses. Keep those messages coming through.
Yeah, so I mean, I have a very unpopular opinion when it comes to this, Lynn, in the sense that I'm not one for the Bagichan line of thought. In the
sense, you've made that quite clear on air.
Yes, I'm like, you've got to keep questioning, right? And not just as a member of the media, I think as a member of the public, if only because it's a slippery slope.
Yeah,
we
I
never
agree.
Used to question in the past, and then it got too late, and then we were told we weren't allowed to question and thrown into jail.
We are also going to be talking about this new report from AKPK that found that 2 out of 10 working Malaysians have been unable to save in the last 6 months. 3 out of 10 have also had to take out loans to buy kind of basic goods. And so that has prompted sort of a wider question about financial literacy in the country. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.